James chapter number one. This morning we started off talking in Ephesians, and we were talking about we're supposed to have not the evil communications, because we know that they corrupt good manners. And I gave you the verses on that. We didn't quite get through all of it, and it got a little quiet. And I think it might be good if you would consider, if Brother Lance has already put that up, to download it and listen to it so you can keep up with where we are. Now, we'll kind of probably peel off of that for this coming Wednesday through Sunday, and then we'll get back to those things. You have a big meeting that's coming up this Wednesday to Sunday. Please don't let anything keep you from being here. You say, well, it'll be crowded. Good. Well, let them sit in the aisleway. This is your church. This is your place. You come and you be seated, and we'll get chairs for them. And if not, they can sit on the stairs. But this belongs to you, and we want you to have a good meeting. We want you to enjoy being here. Excuse me. And I want to see God do something for you this coming week. I hope and pray that He will. And I believe He will if you ask Him to. Amen. You see yourself like Brother Greg's talking about, like that bent nail, and say, okay, Lord, yeah, I see the nail's bent. Yeah, well, what are you going to do about it? Nothing. I'm going to leave it on the concrete. And the Lord said, why don't you turn around and look at it again? That's just like you. I didn't leave you on the concrete. So pick up the cotton picking nail and straighten it out. And that's a good illustration. All right, James chapter number one. Now, we talked about this morning about cast out the scorner and the strife will cease, and we're going to go back there in a little bit, but let me give you this. Verse 26, and then you can be seated. If any man among you seem to be religious, would that be any of us? Bible believers, right? Christians, love the Lord, believe the book, saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, confessed our sins, and He's faithful just to give us our sins, right? Cleanses us of all unrighteousness, right? Come to church, read the Bible, study, pray, sing the hymn, songs of Zion, listen to the kids quote scripture. If any man seem to be religious, watch it, and bridleth not his tongue. Oh, well, now wait a minute. What'd you throw that in there for? Well, he's down to brass tacks. Seems to be religious, bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart. This man's religion, not relationship. His religion is what? You know what he just said? The test of you is not what you see on the outside. The test of you is how you speak. Father, bless your word and help us as we go through these things. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, as you're being seated, come back to the book of Proverbs and let me show you a couple of things. My question to you this morning was, is could God trust you with a secret? A better question would be, could one of your friends trust you with a secret? You might be afraid to let out a secret God told you, but are you afraid to let out a secret that one of your friends tells you? We've got into Proverbs chapter number 22. Proverbs 22, I already gave you that one. Come to Proverbs chapter number 19. Back up, that's where I want to be. Proverbs chapter number 19. Proverbs 19, look if you will please, in verse number 25. Now this is how the Bible says you handle a scorner. A scorner is an individual that's always stirring up trouble. Well, preacher, I'm just speaking my mind. Sometimes it's better to shut your mouth. You don't speak your mind in a classroom. You don't speak your mind when you're in a class that you're being sent to, management class or something that they send you to. You don't speak your mind when the instructor's up there. They'll kick you out of the class. Even years ago when I was downtown, they sent you to all kind of classes and all kind of schools and stuff like that. If they wanted your opinion, they'd ask you for it. Your job was sit down, shut up, listen to what they have to tell you. And if they want your opinion, then they'll ask you, do you have a question? But make no mistake about it, you better not try to teach the class. Otherwise, you'd be the instruction. It's good to see the Salisburys back there where they belong. I'm glad they're here. They live way on the other side of the bridge now, and they can't drive much in the evening time, but I sure am glad y'all are here. It's a blessing to see you sitting back there. I've had my revival now. I can't complain if nothing happens during the meeting because y'all are here, so I appreciate it. So the Bible's way of handling things is a scorner, somebody that's just there to cause trouble, the Lord tells you over there in one passage, cast him out, and the strife ceases. Now, Christians don't like to hear that. The only place that they treat this free speech thing is in the church. They don't treat it that way at work. You don't tell your boss what you think about everything. Don't tell me you do, because your paycheck would be affected. You do what he tells you to do. You don't tell your school teacher what you think, especially if it's your mom and you're in homeschool. Well, I don't like this. I'm not going to do it. And then you find yourself having a hard time sitting down. You got to stand for an hour or so till things kind of cool off back there so you don't set the seat on fire. Which is the proper way to handle a scorner. But in church, it's like, well, everybody has an opinion and everybody's entitled to it. Well, you're entitled to the opinion, but in the Bible, you're not entitled to always speak that opinion. When everything gets chaotic, God's not in it. God is a God of order. God does things decently and how? decently and what? He does not, the author of chaos. That's the devil. This free-for-all, this laissez-faire kind of instructionary kind of a deal where we just throw it up and see where it lands kind of deal. God doesn't work that way. God has a specific goal in mind, a specific objective in mind, and He runs that thing like a Swiss watch runs. He's got a way to do everything. I'm not sure where it crept in, and it is probably because there have been far too many dictators, but at some point it got way too far over there where it was dictatorial from the pulpit, and now it's gotten to the other end of things where nobody knows who's leading where and where they're going or what they're doing. It's just sort of a free-for-all, and let's don't upset anybody. That's not God. God has for you one authority. That's a King James Bible. He gives that to you so that it takes away confusion. God's not the author of confusion. So you have a Bible and it tells you what to do, and you're supposed to have a preacher or a teacher to be able to instruct you according to what the Bible says. And then the Holy Spirit either stamps His approval or He doesn't. But just because you don't agree doesn't mean you immediately say, well, hold on just a minute, I disagree with that. It's not open forum where we're having a courtroom battle. Even in court, they have a way to do things. You can stand up and say, Your Honor, I object, and they'll say objection noted or sustained or overruled, and then you sit back down. You don't get to give your argument until the judge recognizes you. But nowadays, the idea is that, well, if I don't agree, I'm just going to go tear everything out of the frame, and it's going to be the way I want to do it. But you don't do that at your household. If one of your kids stood up and objected the way that some of you do when it comes to worshiping the Lord, you'd have a conniption fit. If your wife did that or one of your kids did that, you'd have a fit. But you feel like it's your place to do it at your place of employment or at your church or whatever. That's not biblical. That's not the way to go about things. Now, I'm not opposed to you disagreeing with me. Think for yourself. I'm all for that. But make sure that the platform is correct before you stand up and make your position known. Your authority in other places might not be respected here. People don't know you from Adam's house cat. Well, if they knew who I was, you know, I've got so-and-so and such, they don't care about all that kind of stuff. They don't know you. This is the South, whether you like that or not, and it doesn't matter if you do, and it is the South, and I've lived here 99% of my life, and we don't do things the way they do up North. Now, there's some things they do up North we should adapt. But there's some things some Northerners ought to adapt. One of them, some stinking manners. Amen. Amen. Yeah, huh, what? That don't work down here. Yes, ma'am. No, sir. Yes, sir. Please. Thank you. Well, we don't do that up there. You're not up there. Well, we won the war. We ain't fighting the war. We're talking manners. Well, I ain't going to do that. Okay, then everybody's going to treat you like a hemorrhoid from now on. Always be trying to put cream on you. You say, why? You're fighting a battle through your kids. Because you're rebellious. You don't want to say yes, sir, but I bet you do to your boss. I bet what you apply at church, you don't apply at work. I bet when your boss comes in, I bet you say yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. No, sir. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. I bet you do. Can I please have the day off? I just bet you do. You tell your kids not to do that. You wait till they go to public school and that teacher snatches a knot in their hind end and they're sitting down in the counselor's office calling you and they're writing them up saying, this person's rude and ill-mannered and stuff. Why? He says, yeah, huh, what? Get some manners about you. Praise the Lord, ain't the Bible. It ain't the Bible. Can't give me no verses on it or nothing like that. He that soweth discord among the brethren, the Lord says an abomination to him. Now why would you sow discord over just being polite? Unless you're just a jerk. I'm sorry, unless you're just an out-of-fellowship Christian. I mean, let's make an issue over the Bible, or make an issue over a sermon, but over yes ma'am and no ma'am, that ain't going to hurt your kid. I bet you shake like a dog getting rid of a peach seed when you have a policeman pull you over, and I'll just bet you say, you know why I stopped you? Yeah. I bet you don't. I bet we could turn on his camera, and I bet you're sitting there trembling and stuff like this, and you're saying, you know, can I see your license? Yes, sir. You sure can. No, sir. I don't know why you stopped me. Please don't write me that ticket. You know, and then you get back in the car. Yeah, I told him what's going on. Yeah, okay. Yeah, whatever. I've seen a couple of hundred cases like you before. You got to learn to pick your battles and do things the right way. What does a scorner do? They're always trying to create problems inside the body of Christ. That's what he's dealing with here. He's not dealing with you at work. He's not dealing with you even in your family. He's talking about God's house. Look at this scorner here. We're talking about the mouth, right? The mouth does a lot more damage than fist does. I've seen the pen kill many more people than the sword has. The Bible says this in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 25. Smite the scorner. Well, now hold on a minute. Smite the scorner, and even the idiots will understand that. Oh, that's not what he said. He says, and the simple will beware. I guess so. That means somebody that's not even intellectually adept understands when you smack somebody for doing something they shouldn't do. It's kind of like, whoa, we better watch that. I may not have enough sense to know all the stuff that guy knew, but I got enough sense to know I'm not going to do what he just did. Smite the scorner, he says, and the simple will beware. Reprove one that hath understanding, and he will understand knowledge. You know what he just said? If you reprove somebody that has understanding, then he'll get it and he'll understand knowledge. The antithesis, the opposite of that is, reprove somebody without understanding and he don't learn nothing from it. He's ready to fight. He'll fight at the drop of the hat and he'll drop the hat. Look down in verse number 29. Judgments are prepared for who? Judgments are prepared for who? Scorners and stripes for the back of fools. So in a sense, he's calling the scorners the same thing as he's calling people that are fools. Verse number 24, chapter 24. I gave you this morning. Chapter number 24, look if you will please in verse number 9. The thought of foolishness is sin, and the scorner is an abomination to who? Isn't that something? The Lord's kind of singling somebody out. Doesn't that seem unfair to you? For the Lord to point people like that out. I mean, in the age of I have a constitutional right to speak everything, the Constitution protects your right and your freedom until it intersects with somebody else's rights or freedom. And you lost that right. You go to the University of North Florida, UNF. They have an area there that's cordoned off, and you can go in there and you can say anything you want to say in that area. You step out of that area and say whatever you want to say, and where your right to free speech cross-sets with somebody else's right to free speech, you're going to have a throwdown right there. If you want to say that, you say it in that place, and you don't say it outside of that place. Well, I've got a right to do that. Your right stops where your fist connects with my nose. You can swing your arm all you want to. Do whatever you want. But when I walk into arm's length of you and you're swinging your arm is going to wind up connecting, your freedom stops. You say, well, you should just stay out of the way. That's how modern America interprets the Constitution. I got a right, I got a freedom to run over you. No, you don't. That was never written that way. Why are you getting nervous? Some of you look like, you feel kind of nauseated. Look in 1 John chapter number 1. 1 John chapter number 1. Here's a good one for you, and then I'm going to get into a couple of these things, that which is good to the edifying and ministering. I've been having to, since I've been looking at this, 1 John chapter number 1, I've been having to watch what I say. I've been pretty bad about not thinking before I speak. I'm sure you've never done that before. You probably just say whatever comes to your mind, and it's perfect and pure and holy and stuff like that. You hadn't been married very long. Amen. Honey, does this make me look fat? Honey, you think I'm an idiot? Even if it did, I ain't telling you. She ain't asking you because of that. She wants to see how much sense you got. Honey, I think that looks very nice. You might want to try something else on. I mean, the buttons are screaming, but you do whatever you want. I'll carry a sheet with us if you want to in case one of them pops off or... Now, you see, you got that nervous laugh. You're like, can we laugh at that? You can if you're single. If you're married, you're like, I don't know what he's talking about, baby. I don't. You know how he is sometimes, baby. I don't even know. I'm not down with that at all. Yeah, okay. She's watching over the internet there, big man, so she's watching what's going on. Yeah, watching you. There's an all-seeing eye watching you. She had me put a camera up here. I can't tell you where. But it's focused in one spot. Look in 1 John chapter number 1. 1 John chapter number 1. Relax, enjoy it, man. It's Sunday night. You're too tense tonight. We're getting ready to have revival. We're going to sing and preach and have testimony time and get rid of some sin and get a little joy juice, man. We're going to have fun. Amen. Amen. That's not joy juice like you used to have. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about being filled with the Spirit. I don't mean, you know, oh, really, he's bringing 100 proof from up in the mountains, huh? No, that's not what I'm talking about. Get your head out of the gutter or the bottle one. Verse 8, chapter number 1, verse 8. If we say, there's the problem with the mouth again, we have what? We deceive who? And the truth is not in us. You ever said that? Well, no, I don't really say it like that. No, you just say your sin's not as bad as somebody else's. He just said, if you say your sin, you have no sin. You're the one deceived. And he said, the truth isn't in you. You're not being upfront with yourself. I gave you the passage in 2 Timothy. Come all the way back over to Deuteronomy. Genesis, Deuteronomy. Just get to Genesis and start turning toward Revelation. You'll run into it eventually. These kids get up here and do the Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judge, Ruth, 1st, 2nd, 7th, 1st, 7th, Kings, so on and so forth. I think to myself, man, how many times have I said that song I learned as a little kid? How many times, Deuteronomy chapter number 6, have I said that thing, you know, where you sing that little song? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, and 1st and 2nd Samuel. 1st and 2nd Kings and 1st and 2nd Chronicles and so on and so forth like that. And these little kids will learn that and get burned in their brain. They'll never forget it. Don't you wish you'd learned that when you were young instead of some of the stuff you did learn? Amen. Don't you wish you'd learned that instead of some of the foolishness you learned? Yeah. You walk through Walmart and they're playing a song. You don't even realize it's on. The next thing you know, man, you're going down memory lane and you're singing the song. Your wife's going, hey, what are you doing? And you're like, what are you talking about? Why are you singing that song? Stop. You're walking down the hallway, you know, and you're, you know, it's like, hey, preacher, how are you doing? Oh, praise the Lord. Hello. You know, you say, how did I know that? I have people everywhere. I've been behind some of you in line. Drina's like, hey, isn't that brother so-and-so? I said, oh, don't even right now. I have spies among us. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Listen, the Bible says if you have no sin, the Bible says the truth isn't in you. You're deceived into saying, I have no sin. That's after you're saved. How do you know? 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. That whole chapter in 1 John chapter 1 is fellowship, 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 fellowship. Has nothing to do with salvation at all. That's John the Apostle saying, if we, meaning me too, confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Nothing about salvation at all. It's fellowship. You get out of fellowship with your wife. Are you stupid enough to not know by now that the best thing for you to do is to say, baby, I'm sorry. Don't you know that sometimes, even if you don't think you're wrong, the best thing to do, the shortest way to get that thing over with is say, baby, I'm sorry. I ain't doing that again. I learned my lesson. I mean, I may be dumb, but I ain't stupid. Some of y'all are like, not me, man. I mean, you know, there's a point. Okay, well, you help yourself. I'm going to eat. You sleep on the couch. I ain't. No, I expect her to tell me when she's wrong as I'm right to tell her when I'm wrong. And I'm sure there's times she's told me she was wrong when she didn't really think she was, but she felt like, well, I guess I better tell him I'm wrong so we can quit this. We've been arguing now for 15 minutes, so I just will. Ours don't last long. I guess because you get old, you forget you're even arguing. Why are we even fighting? I don't know, baby. Come kiss me. We're good, baby, you know. She's like, what is that? I said, I don't know. I just picked it up on the street somewhere, but I love you. Oh, you're so cute. You know, it's like, yeah, baby, let's fight again. Later. Oh, man, good night. You ain't been married very long. You let stuff run more than, oh, I don't know, 5 or 6 hours in your household. You're a fool. You say, why? You got to go to sleep, man. She's liable to have one of those moments, you know. And then claim, you know, menopausal insanity or whatever. Oh, I want to sleep. Doesn't that irritate you, ladies? Doesn't that irritate you? I've had so many men come in my office and they're sitting there talking, you know, and their wife's, you know, talking and she's going on. And then not only that, we're sitting there arguing and he's saying, you know, well, we're okay, aren't we? And yeah, we're okay and that kind of a thing. And then he kisses me and goes to sleep and doesn't even bother him and he's asleep within 10 seconds. And I said, and what do? I lay there all night, look at the ceiling, and listen to him breathe. It makes me so mad, and I'm thinking, and you're thinking about putting a pillow over his head, aren't you? And then she looks at me with this, how'd you know that? I'm married. Amen. I don't know what it is about men. They're like, hey, we good, right, baby? Okay, good. Breakfast in the morning? Good. Okay. He's ready for the rapture. Amen. You're ready for the rupture. You ready to kill something? God help the cat if he jumps in the middle of the bed that night. Deuteronomy chapter number 6 makes it go down a little easier, right? We're talking about words. We're talking about instruction. We're talking about the things that we say. We're supposed to speak that which is good to the edifying. It's supposed to minister grace. Would that be the definition of the majority of your speech? I didn't say all of it. Even Jesus didn't do that all the time. But it would it be the definition of the majority of your speech? Does it minister grace? Does it edify? Does it strengthen? Does it encourage? Is it good? Or is it, there's a comet coming. We're all going to die. Okay? I hope it like hits right here on a Sunday night and we're just here and then like, bam! Like it happens. Like, oh, thank, praise the Lord, I'm in heaven. As from the body, present of the Lord. Man, what a mess down there. Man, Lord, you want to get that? I'll make you a new one. That ain't worth having. That's terrible, man. That thing's just splattered everywhere. Is it always doom and gloom? You know, your candidate's bad and so's mine. So what's the difference it make? That's not how the original joke went down, but that's the pulpit version. They both no good. One's just better for her. What you think is going to be better for you. You don't know what either one of them's going to do. You don't know who's going to win. Well, the latest thing just came out from the FBI. And that has meant what in the past? Involving those people? It means the whole of a donut. If they investigated you, oh, it would mean the donut. But investigating them is like, yeah, whatever. We own them. Oh, you preaching now? Sling it down, preacher. Look at you and you're like, no, this is the real thing this time. You're so funny. Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Look, if you will, please, verse number 6. The Bible says, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Why? Out of the abundance of the heart, what? The mouth. All right. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Is that what your children learn from you? A kid came across us the other day in the store and said a foul, vulgar word. And I thought, that ain't the word you learned from Jesus. That word ain't in the Bible nowhere. Your kid's got foul language. I'm telling you now, God didn't teach him that. He said, thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children and shalt talk of them when thou sittest, shalt talk of them when thou sittest the words in thine house and when thou walkest by the way and when thou liest down and when thou risest up. Would you say that's pretty much 24/7? You're supposed to talk about the words that are in this book. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and thou shalt be, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, a little thing that hangs out here where you can see it. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thine house and on thy gates. Now let me ask you a question. In the day and time we live, I understand this. Come to Psalms chapter 37. I know that this is not going to be popular, but you let kids have all kind of rock and roll posters and surfing posters and football posters and basketball posters and soccer posters and hockey posters and all kind of other kind of things up there. Where's the scripture on their wall? Oh, now, preacher, we won't want to get carried away. This is what he said to do. I wonder if your kids would turn out different if they saw scripture instead of seeing their favorite rock and roller or seeing some woman with not enough clothes on to make a pair of breeches for a Blue Jay, some cheerleader for some football team or something, making millions of dollars. I wonder if that wasn't on their wall, but you said, no, you ain't putting that there. You're going to put a verse of scripture up there. I just wonder if they'd be any different. Or I wonder if you even care about their eternity. No, preacher, that's your job. I only get a shot at them a couple hours a week. You get them the rest of the time. You tell me who has the greater influence. Don't be blaming me when they turn out like you. You say, what does it do? The Bible teaches you clearly what goes in your eye affects your what? What goes in your eye affects your what? That's why David said, I'll set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Now you do with that whatever you want to. But if the Bible's right, those eyes are a gate, they're a window down into your heart. And if the Bible's right, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So when these kids see certain things, you say, what happens to them? They change their styles all the time. Every time you turn around, every time Hollywood changes, these kids change. Well, who's showing them that? Thank you, sister, back in the back. I appreciate that. The rest of you all of a sudden got quiet. Your silence is deafening. You so worried about the world accepting your kids? What's the problem with you? Big, bold Bible believer? Why don't you tell that kid, that's too tight, you ain't wearing it. Amen. You can wear that to go to bed in around here, but you ain't wearing it outside of this house.
There he goes. You got to get on the stuff about wearing clothes again. I'm just saying, they think that's success. If I look like that, I should show it off to everybody.
Can you give me a chapter and verse? If you can, I'll never preach it again. You give me a chapter and verse. You can't do it. You say, why? It's wrong. Hallelujah. 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 Psalm 37. I just made that up. Verse number 30. Let me just give you a couple of these. I didn't realize it's already a quarter till, but we're having a good time, aren't we? Amen. Psalm 37. Y'all are thinking, yeah, I sure hope you say this stuff to them in the Jubilee preacher, because they sure need it. So they'll pray for us when they're not here. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. Equating wisdom with there's judgment coming. 31, the law of his God is in his heart, none of his steps shall slide. Indicating that if the right thing is in your heart, it lessens the possibility of you sliding in a backward situation. Didn't he just say that? Verse 31, none of his steps shall slide. Why? His heart's in the right place. Would it be a fair statement to say this, Psalm 45, would it be a fair statement to say this, if your heart's in the right place, your feet will be protected from sliding? Amen. When's the last time you slid? Was your heart, or the last time you slid, what we call backsliding, or here we call it being out of fellowship, the last time you got out of fellowship with the Lord, was your heart in the right place? She can't even stop. She just responds. She just is like I'm having a conversation with her on the phone. Y'all stop and think. You're like, well, I don't want to answer that. Because it'll out me. And the Lord's like, well, why don't you answer it? It's true, ain't it? Yep. I'm having to think now before I speak. My wife even said the other day, I'm not sure what's happened to you, but you're different. You listen to me before you interrupt me. Well, after nearly 40 years, that's pretty profound. Indicating I must have had a habit before she'd get to the end of her conversation, whether it was needed or not, that I'd shoot my mouth off and give her a solution to whatever I foresaw the problem as, and I didn't realize she's still circling the airport. Got a little stiff right there. Did you feel that? Like, you felt that, didn't you? It's like, whoa. She wants to talk. What's wrong with sitting and listening? You're different, she said. You don't interrupt me before I'm finished. I'm finally learning, honey. Sometimes you're talking about stuff to see if I listen before you tell me what's really going on. And maybe the reason you're talking about all that other stuff is because you know I'm going to interrupt you 10 times before you finally get around to what you really want to say. So maybe I've created the monster. Mighty quiet. Well, could it be maybe problem solver men? Could it be that you don't give them the time to talk a little bit so they don't tell you what the real problem is to see whether or not you're interested in hearing what they got to say? Like you used to be? Like you used to be? And now she's going to always be there, right? And breakfast will always be ready and coffee will be done. Like it always has been. And what happened to the romance? Quiet. I'm trying to scare the guys away from all you girls. Don't date one of them. They're expecting to be treated like a queen. Exactly. And if you're a guy and you can't treat them like a queen, don't even bother to talk to them. Not time to pray yet. I'm right here. Sometimes the person that you're living with is a creation of your own. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Okay, just checking. Psalm 45, verse number 1. My heart has indicted a good matter. I speak of things that have made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. That's pretty poetic writing. Watch verse 2. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore God hath blessed thee forever. Would that be said about you and me? Grace has been poured into your lips. Are you gracious with people? Or do you just cut them off? Well, she talks too much. Okay, what's your problem? You don't listen long enough? Why? Because you're better than the person you're listening to? Well, my, aren't you something? Well, then who is he to listen to any of us? Well, that's his job. You don't reckon you ever ramble to him, do you? You don't ever reckon you get on his last nerve, do you? Do you ever think you do? No, probably not. You probably figure that everybody else does, but you go in there and shoot straight with him, right? He lays it on you and you get out of there. Yeah, I bet that's the relationship you got with him. He ain't like that. Don't he listen to you? Isn't he slow to speak sometimes? Aren't you glad he's slow to anger? How come you got an anger problem? I'll tell you why you got an anger problem. Do you want to know? I can solve your problem right now. It won't cost you nothing. Really, we're not passing the plate tonight. It won't cost you a dime. Can we save you a trip to the psychiatrist? Can we save you a bunch of money on prescription pills? I'll tell you why you got an anger problem. You got a problem with your relationship with the Lord. Amen. You're mad at Him, but you're taking it out on everybody else. Amen. That's worth a couple $100. Yeah. You go to a psychologist, he'll keep you coming and 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 leave you guessing and guessing and guessing and guessing and guessing and guessing and then hand you a bottle full of pills and you'll say, I don't know, man, I just feel pretty good now, man. Everything's really good, man. You know what I mean, man? We're just like really totally roasted, you know? I'm like totally good, man. Okay, you're high as a kite too, and you better not get behind the wheel of a car. You turn into a zombie. It anesthetized you. Could I give you just a couple of more? I'd like to stay in this vein for a second or two. I got to pull off of it for the meeting. Psalm 71. Psalm 71. I get to going over these passages and looking at these cross references and stuff like that. I think to myself, Lord have mercy, man. I got so much stuff to work on. And I wear a tie almost every day. I am preaching several weeks in a row and stuff like that. I wear a suit and tie, you know, and I get my hair cut and all that. And I haven't even had time to get it cut lately. My wife's like, man, you're getting kind of fuzzy there, bud. So we'll get the scissors, you know, and she'll trim me up a little bit so I don't look like a woolly booger and that kind of a thing. But I don't look at the wrong thing, go to the wrong places, do all that other kind of stuff. I get to reading this stuff like that and I feel like, man, I shouldn't even be preaching. If what's coming out of my mouth is an indicator of where my heart's at, I got some work to do. And it gives me the willies. I'm like, no wonder you're leaving me down here, Lord. And the Lord's like, finally. 53 cotton picking years later, you're finally seeing the light. You've been the problem for 53 years. And then in my mind, he says, idiot. Psalm 71. Look at verse number 8. David praying, let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor. How long? How do you do with that? You do pretty good with that one? Well, praise the Lord. Let's see about this one. Look in verse number 15. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day. Count me out. I've failed that test a time or two. For I know not the numbers thereof. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. Oh, excuse me. Verse 17, O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Okay, I have to admit I got a little work to do. Proverbs chapter 10, two more and I'll let you go to the barn. How about that? Proverbs 10, I know we got a long weekend coming. I hope you're here for every bit of it. I hope by the time, this time next Sunday, you're strung slap out. I hope you got, you know, dark rings around your ankles, look like you, around your eyes. You look like you've been on about a 10-day drunk. I mean, I know you wouldn't know what that's like, but I hope you just look wore slap out but happy. Just sitting around saying, pour it on, man, pour it on. I mean, get to the point where you're just numb to the flesh and just let the Lord just pour it on you, just pour it on you, just pour it on you. That's where I hope we are by this time next Sunday. So what all's going to happen? I really don't know. All we can do is set it up. And if he comes by, oh man, I wouldn't want to miss it. And if he doesn't, I wouldn't want to miss it. I want him to know, you don't have to come by for me to worship you. If you come by, it's secondary. I'm going to be here whether you do or don't because I love you. I was thinking to myself the other day, if the Lord hadn't been so good to me in a million ways, would I love Him the way I do? I don't know. I think I'm fickle. I don't know that I would. I'd like to think I would, but I'm being honest. I doubt I would. I'd probably be like some of y'all. I love Him when He's good to me, and I can't stand Him when not, and then get out of church for 6 or 8 months until I need Him again, like some people I know. I'm going to show God I ain't going to church. Okay, He's up there going, oh, what will they say about me? He's like, okay, go ahead and cut your own throat, stupid. Really, that's what I think He thinks. You think you're bothering me? I made church for you. I don't need church. I have church up here 24/7. I got people up here singing, holy, 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 holy. You got it in your hymn book, but that's the main hymn up here. They sing in the doxology all the time up here. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Yeah, come on, man. Lay it on me. Lay it on me. I got church up here all the time. I don't have to come down there to church. I got church up here. Church is for you. It is not for him. It's to help you. Proverbs chapter 10. I better hurry. Look, if you will, please, in verse number 30. Oh, make it 31. 31. The mouth of the just bringeth forth what? Wisdom, but the froward tongue shall be cut out. That's perverse. That's twisted. That's always putting their tongue in everybody else's business. 32. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness. Now you have to judge your own speech. I can't judge your speech. Look in Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12. I'm going to give you this in Proverbs 15 and we're going home. Proverbs chapter number 12. Look all the way down to verse number 13. Make it 12. The wicked desireth the net of evil men, but the root of the righteous yieldeth fruit. The wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble, indicating that the wicked is caught because he can't shut his mouth. And the righteous man keeps his mouth shut and lets God speak for him. Proverbs chapter number 15. Well, that's a hard thing to do, preacher. I mean, if they just happen to know, hold on now. You know what God's saying to you? Just shut up long enough and I'll fix it for you. Amen. You do trust me, don't you? Well, yeah, Lord, with his life and with their life and with her life. But on the other hand, Lord, I think I'd be my own mouthpiece. You'd probably hire your own. You'd probably be an attorney for yourself. You'd think you're Ted Bundy or something. You get in court. Well, that didn't work out so well for him if you check the stats. They hooked him up and fried him like bacon. Oh, you shouldn't talk like that. Tell that to the 300 and something women he killed. Don't look for any empathy from me at all. I don't care if it shocks you. I guess it didn't happen to your daughter or any of your kinfolk. You have no concept what that man did. I don't care if he was a good-looking man and women were swooning over him. He was wicked as the devil incarnate. He should have been put out 10 years before he was. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1, a soft answer turneth away wrath. Let me read that one again. A soft answer turneth away wrath. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. The wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein, a breach in spirit. Jump all the way down to verse 7. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish doth not so. Same passage all the way down to verse 23. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, a word spoken in due season. How good it is. We're going to stop there, but you know what he's saying to you? He's saying that if you've got a wise mouth, then it's a blessing to people, not a hurt. Now, I realize at times you have to pronounce judgment. I understand how that works. I get the proper balance on those things. But ladies and gentlemen, we have a tendency to get out of balance. That's the way we are as Bible believers. We take a little bit of truth and turn it into the whole thing. We have a tendency when it comes to graciousness and kindness and stuff like that, we have a very, very bad habit. And that habit is that we run too far in the opposite direction because we want to be contrary to the mainstream. And sometimes that gets us in a lot of trouble because we don't have enough sense to pull the reins in. We don't have enough sense and have all the Bible knowledge we have to pull it in and show the grace to others that God showed to us. Amen. Have you ever considered where you'd be if God hadn't shown you what He's shown you? God didn't show you that because you're special. God did not show you that because you're special. He did that because He's gracious and He's merciful. He never showed it to you for you to lord it over other people. For your benefit, He showed it to you so that you would have the ability to discern truth and to be able to discern untruth and stay away from untruth and cling to truth and learn to be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. That's a hard one. You say, why? People can be irritating. Amen. But if somebody irritates you, you pause for a minute and see whoever that person is and imagine them as Jesus Christ and imagine how much you must irritate Him with how you treat His bride. And be a little more gracious. All right, let's stand together and be dismissed on that positive note.